Clean, safe, local. Your home for business is the Village of Bedford Park. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03 Thursday afternoon, July 25th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us in the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. Southwest Airlines making one of the biggest changes in its 50-plus year history. We'll cover them in our next segment. But right now, the latest gauge of the American economy, the report on gross domestic product, is out today. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Diane Swonk, Chief Economist, KPMG in Chicago. Diane, thanks for joining us today. And once again, the economy is leaving economists speechless.
Well, we were expecting a pretty strong number, so I'm not quite speechless, but this is great. It's 2.8% growth, double the pace of the first quarter. Some of the gains, almost 1%, was due to a surge in inventories, which in part was retailers trying to front-run some tariffs that just went into effect, and they're ordering ahead of time to get ahead of that and also hedge against the threat of port strikes over the summer. So, you know, we lose a little there, but what we really saw was a bit of a Goldilocks-esque sort of tenor to what we saw, because consumers proved to be discerning and they pushed back on price hikes, and we saw many big retailers roll back prices, actual declines in some goods prices, and sure enough, consumers responded and showed up. You just can't get it better than that for the Federal Reserve. That's exactly what the Fed is hoping for, to try to engineer a soft landing, which is why next week they'll sort of set the stage for that September rate cut.
And how do we square the 2.8% growth during the second quarter, which, as you mentioned, there are some things under the hood of durable goods manufacturers trying to get ahead of some issues, with the 1.4% figure from the first quarter?
Well, the 1.4% figure was also like an underestimate, so you sort of averaged the two and split the difference, and underlying demand from the consumer picked up. The housing market, you know, really got hit by higher rates. It was still lingering off this sort of idea that we had a rally and we had a fall in rates at the end of last year, and we saw some sales due to that in the beginning of the year. The housing market's contracting. These are things that we're watching, you know, because we want to see where is the weakness, where are their fractures. It's also important to know that even though we had that strong growth, we had an increase in unemployment because a lot more people were looking for jobs, and that's good. We also had more people who are not a surge in layoffs, but those who have lost jobs, it's taking them longer to find jobs. And the unemployment rate on new grads is picking up. And so that's why, you know, this is great. Some of it will be given back, but we don't want to see those sort of fractures in the labor market become much larger cracks in the foundation of our economy.
And we've been talking about the possibility of interest rate cuts. And of course, there's more to cutting interest rates above and beyond what it's going to mean for equities when it finally happens. I mean, I think Americans who are carrying, who are financing debt, trying to find a mortgage, an interest rate cut would be a much needed fiscal relief for them. Are we still looking at the possibility of two interest rate cuts, or are we even possibly telegraphing a July cut when they meet next week?
I don't think they'll do a July cut. I think we're looking at September and December. There is a slight chance on November, but the bottom line, and that depends on how weak the economy gets. Right now, it's still pretty robust, but I think it's important to remember that we're talking about the Fed sort of removing its foot from the brakes, not necessarily hitting the gas. The good news is we've got some backlog of inventories in new homes, but overall home inventories are still well below the pent-up demand by millennials who are really waiting, and now with the prospect of rate cuts, waiting to buy. So we will see that unleashed as rates get lower, but we really need to see mortgage rates come down, you know, below the 5% level to unleash some of that demand. And what we worry about, what the Fed worries about, is too rapid of an unwinding. Every time we had seen mortgage rates come down enough to trigger demand, so far we've seen a reacceleration in home values because we still have too few homes for too many people in their 30s that all would like to buy homes.
Diane Swonk, Chief Economist, KPMG in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up, Southwest Airlines adding legroom and assigned seats. We'll talk about that next.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Southwest Airlines says it's heard from its customers and it's making some major changes. Let's learn about all of them from Joe Brancatelli, editor and publisher of JoeSentMe.com, based in New York. Joe, thank you for joining us today. And the biggest change coming to Southwest is tectonic. And that is, for the first time since 1971, it is offering assigned seats in the cabin. What was the thought process behind that?
Money. There's no question that there is a move for people who are wanting more assigned seats. A lot of people don't like the cattle call or getting there early for the boarding process Southwest uses now. But there's no question that the goal of Southwest here is to raise revenue. Their profits plummeted in the second quarter. They lost money in the first quarter, which is very rare for them. So they're looking at making some more money by, you know, kerning the seats, saying if you really want this prime seat, we'll charge you X, and X plus 10 if you want the best seat. So this is all, I don't want to say a money grab, but a reality check that they need to find a way to raise revenue in this environment.
Now, I don't think I'm getting too far out over my skis when I say there are two companies that did the most for the cause of mobility in the United States over the past century. The first one is Ford in making cars affordable to the average person. And the second one is Southwest Airlines by making air travel affordable to many, many Americans. I know we talk about, we try to really get nostalgic about the good old days of air travel, but when you were winging your way across the ocean on Pan Am, Joe, back in the 60s, you were paying fares that were like the equivalent of $5,000. Southwest Airlines made it easy to take your family on vacation. And part of that was its unique operational structure, like the cattle call. So how is this going to change Southwest?
Well, there are some, your points are all well taken. And I do think there's a reason why we have something called the Southwest effect, where when it enters a market, fares go down. There is some real question, Rob, as to whether this will work for Southwest in the way they intend. One of the reasons that Southwest has been able to keep fares down is they've been able to turn the planes fast, which means the plane lands at Midway, promptly takes off 20, 30 minutes later for the next destination. It's been proven over and over and over again that the fastest and most efficient way to board an aircraft is open seating. But that's simply not economic reality anymore. And frankly, a lot of people don't want to do the cattle call now. They're willing to pay money for an assigned seat. So this is Southwest's gamble. The question will be to see if they can keep their efficiency going, because frankly, if assigned seats cost them one turn a day, let's say that aircraft would do six flights in a day and now can only do five, they will lose the game. But I'm sure they've been looking at this for over a year, so I think they've done their calculations and they think it's their best bet right now.
We're talking about changes at Southwest Airlines, assigned seating coming to Southwest, with Joe Brancatelli, editor and publisher of JoeSentMe.com in New York. One thing that they did emphasize on the earnings call where they announced the policy change was that bags still fly free. So they do maintain that competitive advantage. But with the assigned seating, it's one less thing that makes Southwest unique. And what happens if some flyers decide that Southwest is just another airline?
Well, that could be a problem. But, Rob, here's the thing. I think right now the bags are a better selling point for Southwest than the no assigned seating, because no one is going to give you free. Very few airlines are giving you anything like a free bag unless you're buying a premium seat or you have their credit card. If you're unhappy with Southwest's decision to go to assigned seats, where are you going to go? Everybody else assigned seats. So I think this is something they can give up, assuming they've done their calculations right, without hurting the brand too much. I think starting to charge for bags would be a real big issue, because Southwest charges for bags, of course, but it's bundled into their fares. The minute they lose that, I think then you get into, well, they're just another airline.
Joe Brancatelli, editor and publisher, JoeSentMe.com in New York. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, it's a mixed bag as automakers release their latest earnings report.
Money conversation that pays a big dividend. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's earnings season for car makers. General Motors reported earlier this week. Ford came in after the bell last night, and Stellantis joined in this morning. Let's break down the numbers with the help of Jeff Gilbert, CBS News automotive correspondent in Detroit. Jeff, thank you for joining us today. And it seems as far as the stocks, the performance for the Detroit 3 automakers, we're seeing some road rage on Wall Street.
Yeah, exactly. If you look at analysts, GM beat expectations, but there's still some concerns about the economy and their EV plans going forward. Ford fell in below expectations, and they've got some big warranty cost issues that they say they're trying to improve. But I'm thinking Wall Street is kind of skeptical because they've heard that before. And Stellantis has got some big problems in North America in terms of high-priced vehicles that aren't selling and some manufacturing issues, and they came in well under expectations. So the good news is they're all making money. The bad news is Wall Street probably thinks they should be making more.
Well, the stunning thing about Ford is that shares of Ford were off by more than 17% early in trading today. That was on pace for their worst decline since 2009. And 15 years ago, we're talking about the end of the American auto industry potentially, and cash for clunkers and major federal efforts to save the American auto industry. And it's kind of staggering to me that investors would react the same way in an entirely different economy.
Well, if you take a look at Ford, go back to that time period, their shares were trading at well under $2 a share back then. So they're not where Ford would like them to be, but they're certainly better than that. But if you take a look at it since then, it's been a roller coaster ride. They peaked a bit, and then they fall. They peak, and then they fall. And they've never gotten back to where they were in the $30 a share range back in the 2001 when they peaked.
Now, talking about Stellantis, there are some higher-priced vehicles, and it looks like the American driving public, they're in the mood for deals because they have that pricing power once again. Does this mean we could see a readjustment in pricing for some of these vehicles that were had some eye-popping sticker figures not too long ago?
It's interesting how the tune changes. A year ago, I was talking to the head of Jeep about an $80,000, $90,000 Jeep, asking, can you get people to buy that? And he said, well, this is what people are demanding. Well, he's out of a job, and people have been demanding lately mid-sized SUVs like Toyota's RAV4, Honda's CR-V, and the like, and some of the more expensive SUVs are sitting on lots. So I would think you would have to see some sort of incentives on those higher-priced vehicles, but they're still higher-priced vehicles, so you're not going to get a huge bargain.
Well, we'll know that Stellantis has been listening if they reintroduce the Plymouth Omni.
We'll know that Stellantis is suicidal if they reintroduce the Plymouth Omni.
Jeff Gilbert, the CBS News automotive correspondent based in Detroit, thank you for joining us today. Still ahead in Technology Thursday, how the Olympic viewing experience will be enhanced by the latest advances in tech.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station, News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. A suburban teenager is dead after being hit by a stray bullet while inside her home. Talks continue in the effort to end the war in the Middle East. It's Technology Thursday when the Olympics open tomorrow. Artificial intelligence and leading-edge technology will have a major presence. That presence includes using AI to produce the dream shoes of athletes. Business, the markets are higher. The Dow is up 418 points. The NASDAQ is up 96, and the S&P 500 is up 38. We have 76 degrees right now in Chicago under mostly sunny skies, going up to 80 today. It's 12:31, topping our news at the half hour. A teenager from far north suburban Round Lake Beach was struck and killed last night by a stray bullet police say was fired from outside her home. First responders were called just after 9 to a house in the 1500 block of Cherokee Drive. They found the 15-year-old with a gunshot wound. She was taken to the hospital where she was pronounced dead. The Lake County Sheriff says it appears the girl was not the target. The county's Major Crimes Task Force is assisting in the investigation. Negotiations on a ceasefire in Gaza continue today. A diplomatic source tells CBS News Israel has put forward new demands. They include Israeli forces staying along a key strip of land along Gaza's southern border with Egypt and preventing unrestricted access for civilians seeking to their return to their homes in the north. CBS's Scott McFarlane reports that word comes after a fiery address to Congress yesterday by Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
There are also concerns about how he is executing this war, the number of civilian deaths, the number of casualties overall. There's a mixed reaction to Congress's plans to continue providing billions of dollars to Israel.
Netanyahu is meeting with President Biden this afternoon and will speak with Vice President Harris later today. It's 12:32 as the noon business hour continues. Markets are higher. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer, Crescent Capital in Chicago. Jack, thank you for joining us today. What is driving the gains today, especially after a week where a lot of equities took their lumps? Is this simply GDP exuberance we're seeing today?
Yeah, Rob, I think so. I mean, first of all, we're off, you know, one of the worst days in a couple years yesterday. And so I think the investment community is looking for good news, and they got it. We had quarterly annualized GDP coming in twice that of last quarter at an annualized rate of 2.8%. And it looked like we saw strength in pretty much every segment that contributes to GDP. So, you know, from that perspective, I'd say strong growth. What I'm looking at is, okay, does that mean now the Fed has less reason to cut rates? And I believe no. I think that what this really sets up for, and probably what the investment community is creating, a narrative that inflation comes down on its own, the Fed cuts rates, and the economy is strong enough not to fall into recession. Now, I don't think the Fed needs to cut rates as much as they would normally do during an easing cycle, but I think that this does shape up for that, you know, call it soft landing scenario that investors are hoping for.
We're talking about today's market activity with Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer, Crescent Capital in Chicago. It's still early, and the small sample size disclaimer is still in effect, but is earnings season shaping up to be a disappointment so far? Because it seems like some of the marquee names that have reported already have disappointed investors.
Yeah, I mean, certainly when you're looking at the top, you know, Magnificent Seven names, I think there's been a fair amount of disappointment there. I mean, remarkably, yeah, Tesla was bad. I mean, that was bad news no matter how you look at it. But Alphabet did beat at least the headline expectations. It must have been a whisper number that was higher than that. But the problem is because these names have run so much and their earnings growth over the last few quarters have been so high that that expectation, I think perhaps analysts and investors drew trend lines that a lot of these companies just can't meet. Now, underneath the surface, there are some, you know, there is some good news. General Electric, General Dynamics, and IBM had some good numbers. So what we're seeing now is maybe justification for that broadening that we were hoping for in the second half of the year.
And then looking ahead, I mean, obviously, that the first read on second quarter GDP is very encouraging. You'd much rather be talking about exceeding expectations than undershooting them. But as you mentioned, there are some signs that maybe things are slowing down and slowing down rapidly, and that would require some quick, nimble action on the part of the Fed. And what are some of the risks that are showing up?
Sure. So some of it is underneath the surface of household spending. The spending number came in pretty strong, but we are starting to see evidence that the discretionary spending, particularly the high-end stuff, is starting to weaken. So, for example, the airlines, are disappointing. The cruise lines are disappointing. We're seeing hotel room rates actually fall over the last 18 months. So I think that, this experience boom that had been driving a lot of spending is starting to cool off a little bit. In fact, a lot of the spending that we saw last quarter in the GDP numbers was really more leaning into goods than it was into services, and that's a switch.
Jack Eblin, Chief Investment Officer, Crescent Capital in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Technology Thursday, the huge impact of tech on the Summer Olympics.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Technology Thursday. The opening ceremony of the Paris Summer Olympics is set for tomorrow evening, and innovations in AI and other tech will make it a very different experience for TV viewers than in the past. Let's talk about it with Paul Hochman, President of Humongous Media and former tech editor for the Today Show in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Paul, thank you for joining us today. And if you watch the Olympics starting tomorrow, that's when the opening ceremony is, but some of the events are happening today. A lot of the athletes who are competing, especially from the United States, they are there as a result of artificial intelligence, basically breaking down their performance in an individual sport and helping them rebuild their technique so they actually can develop a medal-winning performance.
That's exactly right. You know, I covered five different Olympics for the Today Show, for NBC Sports, and it comes down to something simple, which is data, to your point. In other words, how do you analyze a moving body, especially if it's say it's a swimmer, in water when the movements are so complex and the measure of their success is efficiency? In other words, if they do nothing wrong, if their stroke is perfect, it's really hard to improve it. But guess what? Nothing, of course, is perfect, and AI has been part of the analysis. Biomechanical analysis, Omega, among others, at the Aquatic Center has been analyzing, using AI, exactly how the swimmer is moving through the water and how to make micro adjustments to that swimmer's stroke or efficiency. And this matters enormously because, as you probably know, anybody who watches the Olympics and any kind of other competition, the difference between a gold medal and an also ran can be 3, 4, 5 hundredths of a second. So every benefit you can, you can squeeze out of everything, especially AI driven, is going to make a difference.
And just to give you an example of the level of precision we're talking about in terms of fractions of a second, two of my daughters are swimmers. The oldest is 10. The second oldest is 8. And I'm a swim timer for some of their events. And the instructions to you as the swim timer is don't start the stopwatch when you hear the tone. There's a flash of light beforehand, and you got to start it on the flash of light because light travels faster than sound. And this is just inside the area of a swimming pool. So, but that really does make a difference. And so when you're talking about tenths of a second, meaning the difference between a gold medal in swimming and being an also-ran, yes, you need all the data available to you.
I'm so glad you brought up light versus sound, because in fact, Omega, I was actually there when they, for the very first time at the Olympics, when they introduced a starter's pistol. It wasn't a pistol. This was soon after 9/11, and obviously, for a lot of reasons, the security was not letting pistols through, security, and that's one of the minor problems. But one of the biggest problems was that the person in lane one was about 20 to 25% farther away from a sound perspective than the person in lane eight. So the person in lane one had a problem. They were literally at a disadvantage. So Omega created a starter's pistol that was a flash of light. Light obviously travels much faster than sound. So the solution, the technology solution to these major, you know, analog problems, like I didn't start quickly enough and that hundredth of a second was lost, have been solved. I mean, by the way, it gets really interesting. Your daughter swims. Speedo, famous for its swimsuits, had a swimsuit which is now illegal, but it was introduced in Athens. It was called the Laser Racer, and it squeezed the swimmer into a new shape, literally squeezed them so hard they were shaped better to slip through the water. Well, the swimming governing body said that's not cool, so Speedo pivoted, and now they have the Faskin Laser Intent and the Faskin Laser Valor. They now have materials on them, very high-tech space-age materials that shed water really fast and make you feel like you're buoyant because the water doesn't penetrate the suit. So at every level, technology is literally infusing the athlete's performance.
And one way in which AI can be a huge help in the track and field events is that it can solve photo finishes.
You got it. In fact, smart bibs are a big thing. Basically, a chip. Now, chips are not brand new, but the way AI is interpreting body lean, which part of the body crossed the finish line first and so forth, the smart bibs hold a chip in them about the size of a credit card, extremely light, that obviously can get picked up by sensors as the athlete gets close to the finish line. However, the moment of truth when that athlete crosses is open to interpretation. A photo finish is still visual. AI can now interpret down to the, you know, to basically the zillionth of an inch, whether or not the athlete won.
Paul Hochman, President, Humongous Media, former tech editor for the Today Show in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Thank you for joining us today. Join us at this time tomorrow for Entrepreneur Friday. And still to come, Nike adding AI to its shoe game.
You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Technology Thursday rolls on as the Summer Olympics get underway in Paris. Nike is using the occasion to showcase its latest athletic shoe tech. We head overseas to Ina Fried, Chief Technology Correspondent for the news site Axios.com, live from Paris. Ina, thank you for joining us today. Now, I have this vision in my head. You are talking to us from a cafe. You have a baguette on one side of the table, a carafe of Beaujolais on the other, and a notebook full of philosophical musings. Is that a correct image of what's going on in Paris right now?
You're so close, Rob. I'm at a sweaty hotel, budget hotel room without air conditioning at the outskirts of Paris, but you are really close.
Just like Albert Camus. So Nike is using AI in its shoe technology, and what are some of the what is the AI bringing to the table as it develops athletic shoes for the competitors in Paris?
So this is a sort of imagining of what Nike Air could be in the future. And so they went with 13 of their athletes. So folks like Shaqiri Richardson and Kylian Mbappe and Sam Kerr. And they said, what would you like your shoe to be? Imagine it. And then they also brought in AI and came up with these super fanciful designs. I don't think any of these will be shoes in and of themselves. But to me, it really showcased how AI can be a part of the creative process, not just taking jobs away from humans.
Now, in our previous segment, we talked about the ways in which AI is used to analyze data from the athletes. So is Nike using this just to design shoes that the athletes, that they just think they look cool? Or are they also using some of the data from the athletes' performance to create a shoe that is tailored exactly for them?
I think it's the difference between the here and now and the future. So for the here and now, absolutely. They're really looking for an ounce more performance. That's not generative AI. It's the kind of machine learning, crunching the data. So different sort of thing. With these, I don't think performance was a big part of it. I think it was creative, fanciful. When I looked at these shoes, I can't imagine anyone necessarily running around in it. I don't think it would improve their times or performance. I think it was more bending the mind of what might be possible. But when they come down to really designing the shoes, of course performance is going to be at the heart of it. And that'll be much more grounded in the data machine learning side of AI than the creative, fanciful, imagine the future. But this was really fun.
Ina Fried, Chief Technology. Chief Technology Correspondent for Axios, live from Paris. Thank you for joining us today. If you missed any part of today's show, just go to our stream, skip back to the time you want. There's a pause and rewind function, but works both online and with the Odyssey app.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.